Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host, and this show is about kids. Radio kids, to be exact. We'll hear from a number of them, but we'll start off with Teeny, who was featured on Fibber McGee and Molly. Of course, Teeny was played by Molly herself. Here's Teeny in an episode entitled Fixing Teeny's Sled from 1951.
Here I am with a handful of tools and nothing to fix. Gee whiz, if a guy could...
Come in, thank goodness.
Hi, Mr. McGee. Hi, Miss McGee.
Oh, hello there,
Teeny. Come on in, Teeny.
Well, it's nice to see you, sis. Haven't seen you since, Christmas. Santa Claus good to you this year?
Sure, he was wonderful to me, I bet you.
Good.
But gee, am I glad Christmas is over.
You are?
I was just wore out.
Just wore out, huh? From shopping?
No, from being good for 2 whole weeks. It was awful.
I bet it was.
I was so glad when Christmas was over, I went out and broke every window in our garage.
You did, eh? Well, what'd you get for Christmas, Teeny? A lot of nice stuff?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. I got a new doll buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of books and a Mickey Mouse wrist watch.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bottle of perfume from Willie Toops. And my daddy says 3 drops of that would eat the lock off the county jail.
He said that.
Yeah. And a sled. And oh, hey, that reminds me.
What reminds you of what, Teeny?
My sled. It reminds me of you.
Oh, yeah, well, I can see where it would. I've been going downhill for some time now.
No, I mean on account of you're so wonderful at fixing stuff.
Oh, shucks.
And I bet you're the best fixer in the whole world, and... Hey, will you fix my sled, mister? It don't run good.
Why, sure, sis, since you put it that way. Be glad to. You know me, handy with tools. Got a knack for it.
Sure you have, I bet you.
Well, you bring the sled in. Whatever's wrong with your sled, old Uncle Fibber will straighten it out as good as new.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it in.
Boy.
Yeah. Oh.
There.
You mean that was a sled?
Looks like a roll of chicken wire from a sunken ship.
Yeah. How did it get like that, sis?
Well, some of the kids borrowed it and left it on the streetcar tracks, and I guess the streetcar must have run over it. A couple of times.
Yeah, at least.
Gee, thanks for wanting to fix it, mister. You're just wonderful to us kids.
Yeah, but look, I don't think anybody could ever fix it.
I'll be back for it this afternoon, mister. Thanks ever so much. Bye, Miss McGee.
Bye, Teeny.
Bye, Teeny.
Were you the fellow who was looking for something to fix?
Yeah. Oh, well, this won't be so tough, Tootsie. I can handle this. With my knack for fixing stuff, I'll... I wonder which was the front end of this thing. This looks like a runner here, so that must go on the bottom.
I never would have thought...
Come in.
Well, for goodness sakes, it's His Honor the Mayor. Come in, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, hi, Latrev.
Hello, Molly. McGee. Well, what are you doing with all the tools, McGee? Building something?
Yep. I'm building a reputation, Latrev. Reputation as a kindly, gentle, understanding fellow who's sweet to children and handy with tools.
And even handier with a promise. He promised to fix a sled for the little girl across the street, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, was it very badly broken?
The sled? Oh, the promise. Badly broken. You should have seen it, boy. Looked like 40 pounds of tangled pipe cleaners with the fuzz wore off.
Well, it was decent of you to fix it, McGee. I saw the child outside showing it to her little friend.
Really, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, what were they saying, Latrev? Huh? Did you hear what they were saying? They think I'm pretty great, huh?
I just caught a word here and there. They were all so complimentary that I never dreamed they were talking about you.
Well, it does my heart good, Latrev, to do something for kids. They're so grateful, so appreciative. I sure made some friends today.
And you can use friends, too.
Yes, he always does. But it's bread cast upon the waters, McGee. I'm sure that anything you did for a child today will return to you tenfold, and that is a very...
Hey, Mr. McGee, Mr. McGee.
Yeah?
Hey, I told all the kids about the wonderful job you did on fixing my slab.
Oh, well, shucks.
And you know what?
Huh?
They're all going to let you fix something.
What?
Okay, kids, bring the stuff in.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Here's my electric train.
Yeah, and here's Margie's tricycle you can
take. Hey, now, wait a minute, sis. I can't...
Here's my
hobby horse. No, look, kids, wait a minute.
Fixing Teeny's Sled from 1951 on Fibber McGee and Molly. Well, now we'll move on to our next child, and that will be none other than that famous baby, Baby Snooks. Well, what does Baby Snooks have to do with Shetland ponies? We'll find out in this sketch.
Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has made a bargain with Snooks. He told her if she behaved perfectly for an entire week, she could have a pony. By some miracle, Snooks behaved. And so we find them both at the Riding Academy, where Daddy intends to make the purchase. Listen.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Now, just take it easy, Snooks.
Ain't you going to buy me the pony?
Yes, I'll buy you the pony. I promise you I would. But there's no use buying the first pony we look at.
Why?
Well, the man may try to palm off some worthless animal. Do you want me to buy a cat in the bag? What's the matter?
He said you were going to buy me a pony.
I know I did.
Well, I don't want no cat.
I'm not going to buy any cats. I just want to be sure we get a healthy pony, that's all.
Is it going to be a real live one, Daddy?
Yes.
Can I ride it?
Yes, you can ride it. Look, how would you like a milk-white pony?
Can I milk it?
Whoever heard of such nonsense? You can't milk a pony.
Why?
Because you milk cows.
Buy me a cow.
Now listen, Snooks. Before I talk to this man, I want to be sure you don't drive me crazy. Are you positive you want a pony?
Positive.
And will you promise to be good for a whole year?
I promise.
All right. Let's walk around the stables and look them over.
All right. Look at Daddy.
What is it?
There's a man building a horse.
Building a horse?
Uh-huh. He's nailing on the feet.
Oh, silly. He's a blacksmith.
How do you know his name?
I don't know his name. I said he was a blacksmith.
He looks white to me.
He is white.
Well, why did you say...
A blacksmith is a man who puts shoes on horses.
Huh?
Before you can ride a horse, he has to be shod.
With a gun?
No. When they put horseshoes on a horse, they say he's shod.
Oh, they only say it.
Yes.
But he ain't really shod, is he, Daddy?
No, he's not shot. He's shod. If it'll make it any simpler for you, when a horse is shod, he's shooed.
When he shots, he's shooed?
Yes.
Who shoots him?
Nobody shoots anybody.
Why?
Because it's against the law. And you don't know how lucky you are.
Huh?
Let's look around.
Come on, buy me a pony.
Now stop hounding me. You haven't even seen a pony yet.
Well, what's all those in those stables?
They are horses. You're too small to ride a horse.
Can you ride a horse, Daddy?
Can I ride a horse? Can I ride a horse?
Well, can you?
Now, listen, young lady. I was practically born in a saddle. I was breaking horses when I was 12 years old. Ho-ho! Brother, did I have a seat.
What happened to it, Daddy?
Nothing happened to it. I can rope, jump, anything. I ride just like I'm part of the horse.
Which part?
Any part. As soon as I buy you the pony, I'll give you some real riding lessons.
You're good, ain't you, Daddy?
You can say that again.
You're good, ain't you, Daddy?
Oh, come on. Don't get too close to those stall gates.
There's a pony, Daddy.
Where?
In there. With that big horse.
Oh, that? Yeah. Oh, that's not a pony. That's the big horse's little baby. She's a mare, and she had a colt.
She had a colt?
Yes.
From that she got a baby?
That's what they call young horses. Colts. Oh, look at the little fella. Look at his spindly legs. Ever see anything like that?
Uh-huh.
Where?
When you come out of the shower.
Oh, very funny. You think you're very funny.
I think so.
Well, I don't. I'm built as nice as anybody. And hereafter, I want you to keep my legs to yourself.
Oh, my God, blow me a pony.
I've got half a mind to take you home without buying anything. All right. Let's go around the back. Where's the owner of this broken-down place, anyway?
There he is, Daddy. Hey, mister.
Who you all looking for, honey, child?
Oh, he's another blacksmith.
Oh, he is. He's a groom.
What's he holding?
A bridle.
Huh?
The groom is holding a bridle.
Are they married?
Oh, stop it. Say, boy.
Yes, sir?
Where's the man who owns the place?
You mean Captain DuPont?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there he is over there with them mules. He's the one wearing a hat.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Now, come on, Snooks.
I'm gonna get a pony. I'm gonna get a pony.
Oh, here's the man. Excuse me, Captain DuPont?
Oui?
My name is Higgins.
How do you do, sir? I am very happy to know you. Comment ça va?
What's he saying, Daddy?
Shh. That's French.
Oh, quel joli enfant. This little girl, is he your child? Is it not?
Yes, it is. We are looking for a pony.
Oui, oui. I have a pony for you, little one. Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Monsieur Higgins, how much you like to spend?
Oh, I figured on spending around $25, Captain.
Oh, I see. Little one, how you like a Shetland? Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Well, step over this way, please. Here is one. Oh, he's a beauty. How you like him?
Hmm. You like him, Snooks?
No. He's all bull-headed.
Well, right now he's have a little mange, but he will soon have a nice coat.
Yeah, he could certainly use a better coat.
He could use a better pants, too.
And let the little girl ride him. Come on, jump on his back.
I'm scared, Daddy.
What do you mean you're scared? You want a pony, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll have to try him out. And you don't have to be afraid with me around. I know all there is to know about riding. Come on, I'll help you mount.
All right.
Okay. Whee! Now, put your foot in the stirrup.
excuse me, you are putting her on the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pardon me. Must be a left-handed saddle. All right. Up the daisy.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy, he's jumping.
Well, don't worry. He's just a little tangled up.
What happened?
Nothing. The pony just got his foot caught in the stirrup.
Take me down.
What for?
If he's going to get on, I'm going to get on.
He's all straight now. Take him for a gallop. You will love him.
Now, Snooks, before I buy this pony, I want you to promise me again.
What?
You must promise me that you'll be good for a whole year.
I feel sick, Daddy. Take me off.
You feel sick?
Yeah.
You haven't ridden him yet.
I want to get off.
Don't you want me to buy the pony?
No.
All right. Grab hold of me. There. I'm sorry I wasted your time, Captain DuPont.
Oh, that is all right. Goodbye.
A pair of screwballs.
Come on, quick, Daddy.
I don't understand you. When I finally go to buy you the pony you've been yelling for, you don't want it.
It makes me feel sick.
The thought of riding a pony makes you sick?
No, the thought of being good for a whole year.
Oh, so that's it.
That's it, Daddy.
Well, take this for nothing at all. Now do something. Come on, let's go home. What is it, Snooks?
Do I have to go to school tomorrow?
Certainly you have to go to school.
Why?
Because tomorrow isn't a holiday. And besides, you need plenty of schooling.
She certainly does, Daddy.
Who asked you?
Yeah, who asked you?
Well, I don't want to be a Budinsky, but I think you should be ashamed. Your child can't even count up to 10.
I resent that. Snooks can count past 10. I taught her myself. Didn't I, Snooks?
Uh-huh.
Well, she couldn't do it 10 minutes ago. Let me hear you count, Snooks.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Go on.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Go on.
9, 10, Jack, Queen, King.
What?
8.
Well, that's fine counting.
I can see why the child doesn't do very good in school.
Well, arithmetic is very difficult for children. But she does great in grammar and spelling.
Oh, go on. She can't even spell cat.
I can too. Cat. K-A-T.
Well, she got two letters right. Snooks, a cat is not K-A-T.
K-A-S?
Well, she's not very good at spelling, but her grammar is great.
I was waiting for that. Now, I've got a question that I'd just like to put in here and ask
you. I want to go home.
Now, wait a minute, Snooks. Let's hear the question the big professor has for you.
All right.
No prompting now, Daddy. Listen, Snooks. What's the plural of man?
Men.
How's that?
Well, I'm not done yet. Snooks, what's the plural of child?
Twins.
Guess she don't know grammar, huh?
She certainly don't. And I know she can't punctuate.
She can punctuate as good as you can.
Okay, okay. Snooks, write this sentence down as I give it to you. Why don't you try it too, Daddy?
Never mind that. Get ready to write, Snooks.
I ain't got no pencil.
Snooks, I ain't got no pencil.
I have no pencil.
Well, if nobody ain't got no pencil, let's go home.
Oh, come on.
Goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, you can't get nowhere with people like that.
All right, Professor. Get back on the stand and play.
Moving on to our next radio baby, we will feature Edgar Bergen's wooden kid, Charlie McCarthy. And here he is with guest Tallulah Bankhead from 1946.
The Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snur, Jack Mather, and our very charming guest for this Sunday, Miss Tallulah Bankhead. And here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie, you're just the person I want to see.
Well, sorry, Bergen, but the feeling ain't mutual.
I see. Charlie, why do I always... seem to have trouble with you.
I don't know why, Bergen. I guess you're just naturally hard to get along with.
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, now, I've been sending you to dancing school for the past 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
You've said very little about it.
Yes, sir.
How are you coming along?
That stuff ain't for McCarthy, Bergen.
Oh. Charlie, you were very fortunate to be accepted into that dancing school.
Why?
Well, it's the most exclusive one in town. The best people send their children there.
Yeah, well, then they don't send their best children there.
But this dancing class, why, Charlie, it will make you sure of yourself.
Oh, I'm sure now.
Yeah?
In fact, I'm positive that I hate it.
Yeah.
Especially that Virginia Rio. I don't go for that.
Oh, well, now, isn't that the one where you all join hands?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, wasn't that quite a thrill?
Well, I think it was for the girl next to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a frog in my hand.
Oh, don't you even like the ballet?
No, it's too strenuous. It gives me a ballet ache.
Oh, it does. Anyway, attending dancing school will teach you how to walk with poise and dignity. Some people, you know, they walk like ducks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Quack, 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 quack. Could I interest you in a dozen eggs?
All right. Do you know the proper way to walk, Charlie?
Proper way?
Yes.
To walk?
Yes.
Well, I sort of always favor the old-fashioned way. You know, putting one foot in the front of the other.
No, but I mean, do you know how to enter a room?
Well, you can nearly always jimmy a window.
No, no.
Oh, you mean in the daytime?
Yes, of course, yes. Well, it's like this, Charlie. I want you to understand that all this I do for your good.
Yes, sir.
You understand, Charlie, you're growing into adolescence now.
Yes, sir.
And you must learn the social graces, because before long you'll begin to think about girls.
No. You mean I'm approaching the neckable age?
Yeah. Now, suppose you meet a young lady at a dance. How would you ask her for the next dance?
Well, I'd say, "Hi, you hot toddy, sling me the body."
Yeah. Now, what if she doesn't want to dance, if she declines?
Well, I'll just say, "All right, then, Dreamboat, let's go out on the porch and smooch."
No. Schuyler Van Snort wouldn't do such a thing.
No, he wouldn't.
Why didn't you watch him at dancing school, Charlie?
Well, I did. And that's why it happened.
What happened?
Well, it all started out while we were dancing the minuet.
Minuet?
Yeah, that's French for slow death.
I see.
Skyler was bowing to his partner.
He was bowing?
Yes, and I was standing right in back of him, see?
Yes.
Oh, he was begging for it.
No. And what did you do?
Well, my football instincts told me that the situation called for a quick kick in the end zone.
I see. And you did?
That's it, I did, yes. Under the circumstances, I could only do what you always told me to do, Bergen.
What was that?
To put my best foot forward. The rest is history.
What do you mean, Charlie, history?
Well, pandemonium set in. Everybody started socking everybody else. Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. But, Charlie, I sent you there to acquire charm and culture.
Yes, sir. Skyler cornered me, and for 10 minutes we traded charm and culture.
Yeah.
Blow for blow.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And the next thing I knew, the whole class was chasing little old me.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I did a jackknife dive into the punch bowl.
Oh, no. How did you come out?
Punch drunk.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's terrible.
When the brawl finally died down, and all good things must end, you know, I found myself thrown out, face down in the gutter.
Oh, no.
Tired but happy.
Charlie, you've disgraced me. How can I ever face those people again?
Well, I'm afraid you not only can, but will, in court.
Special arrangement is played now by Ray Noble and his orchestra of the current hit, Aren't You Glad You're You? A brand new spring suit.
Yep, that's me.
Yes, it's Mortimer.
Yep, I'm all bib and tuckered out.
Yes, I see. Well, you certainly look sharp in that new suit.
Yep, I'm a regular bumblebee.
No.
Bum broom handle?
No.
Hobo bummer?
No.
What?
Bo Brummel?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yep.
Well, you're Trey Sheik.
Hmm?
I say, you're Trey Sheik.
No, no. Oh, Mortimer.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Well, I mean, you certainly look smart.
Well?
Yes, you do.
Oh, no.
Yes, you do.
I do?
Yeah.
Well, maybe so, but underneath I'm just as dumb as I ever was.
But, Mortimer, there's just one jarring note in that outfit.
Yeah, that's my face.
No, no. No. It's that hat. Isn't it on backwards?
No, it just looks that way because my face is on forwards. Oh, I...
Tell me, Mortimer, what's the reason for the new suit?
Hmm?
I say, what's the reason for the new suit?
Yeah, it's new.
I know it's new. What's the reason for it? Are you in love?
What?
Are you in love?
No, 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 no.
What's the matter?
Well, you asked the blushiest question.
Well, don't you have any dates with girls?
No, no.
Why?
Like, I wouldn't be seen with any girl that go out with a fella as funny looking as me.
Well, then why did you get the new clothes?
Well, I had to get rid of my old clothes.
Had to get rid of them?
Yeah, on account of because I found a little squirrel.
A little squirrel? Gray squirrel?
No, it was a black one.
Black one, eh?
With white service stripes.
Well, white service stripes. A black squirrel with white service stripes.
Yeah, uh-oh. He got in my lunch pail and he tried to steal a donut.
Oh, he did. Well, I certainly hope you let him have it.
Well, I was gonna. Yeah. But he let me have it first.
He let you have it first.
Yeah. He sort of backfired.
Oh, I see. Well, were you surprised?
Surprised? I was smellbound. Yeah. You know, somebody ought to tell that little squirrel he ain't using the right kind of soap.
I see. Mortimer, don't you even know the difference between a squirrel and a skunk?
No, is that what it was?
Why, of course. How can you be so stupid?
I don't know. I guess my brain is bucking the headwind.
Oh, I say, Edgar, where were you last night, old boy? I kept calling and calling, but there was no answer.
Well, Charlie and I went out, Rain.
Oh, well, then it's lucky I didn't put a nickel in the phone, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, we went to the theater, mm-hmm. And you know, we had a very exciting time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You mean her bubble broke?
No. No, we saw Tallulah Bankhead in a stage play, Foolish Notion.
Oh, how jolly, yeah. I'd like to meet a girl with foolish notions.
Oh, no. Well, you'll have a chance to. She's coming over tonight.
Oh, you don't say. What did you say her name was? Tootaloo Banknote?
No, not Tootaloo, no. No, it's Tallulah Bankhead. Miss Tallulah Bankhead.
Now, don't overdo it, Edgar. They heard you the first time.
Why, Tallulah!
Thank you.
Tallulah, I want you to know how much I enjoyed your play.
Oh, did you, Edgar? Then you got the parties I left for you.
Yeah, that's why he enjoyed it.
What's the matter, Chubb? Didn't you like me?
Well, I'll tell you, Lulu. As one thespian to another, it was excellent theater. Excellent.
No, thank you, Charlie, darling. Now, I do hope you're not just pulling my leg.
No. But it ain't a bad idea.
It's enough, young man.
Ever since seeing you in A Royal Scandal, I feel that you're more the regal type. You have the background of a queen.
My, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. Knowing that we were to be honored with your presence, I've written a little three-act plagiarism.
Charlie.
Yeah?
In your play, do I...
Yes, Bergen, yes, you do. You have a part. You are the king and Tallulah is the queen in the kingdom of Miscellanea. Places, everybody. Curtain.
Edgar! King Edgar!
Queenie?
Oh, I've had such a trying day entertaining diplomats and diplomatesses. Well, let us stop in on the Duke of Ellington and cut a rug.
Oh, not tonight, my Tallulah Belle. Let's stay home and play a spirited game of checkers.
Checkers? I've been playing checkers with you all week, and you haven't won a game yet.
I know, but tonight I feel jumpy.
Oh, those trumpeteers. You've just got to speak to Petrillo.
Announcing the Royal Courier, Lieutenant Charles Bukatovich.
Ah, your queenship. I bow in worship.
Bow? Nay, why don't you kiss me?
But after all, you are a queen.
So what? Love is blind.
Yes. But the king ain't.
Don't worry, I'll take care of that. King Edgar, why don't you go to the counting house and count your money?
Oh, that's an excellent idea, my dear. Here's my money. My money, 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 money.
That's perfect typecasting.
Ah, our lieutenants, at last we are alone.
Yes, Queenie. And now that we're alone, I want to tell you, I'd rather hope that you could make me a major.
Well, for a kiss, I might.
Oh, no sooner said than done. Here's your request.
Oh, General.
What will we do about the king?
Oh, I'm having the royal apothecary prepare a poison potion.
Poison potion? What do you have in mind?
Murder, Jackson. Now kiss me, my fool.
Oh, excuse me, Your Highness.
Princess Anita, why aren't you rehearsing your song for the royal ball?
But I already know it.
Prove it.
Oh, no, not now.
Oh, Queenie, but music is the food of love.
Ah, then sing, Anita, my sweet. Sing.
It was just a neighborhood dance, that's all that it was. But oh, what seemed to be. It was like a masquerade ball with costumes and all, 'cause you were at the dance with me. It was just a ride on a train, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a trip to the stars, to Venus and Mars, 'cause you were on the train with me. And when I kissed you, darling, it was more than just a thrill for me. It was the promise, darling, of the things that fate had willed for me. It was just a wedding in June, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a royal affair with everyone there, 'cause you said, yes, I do, to me. I kissed you when you said yes, I do.
A lovely Princess Anita, you sang divinely. You know, with your beautiful voice and my guiding hand, you will go far.
Yes, Princess Anita, you sang divinely. Now get out.
Oh. Yes, Your Highness. Goodbye, General.
And now, as for you, you two-timing corporal.
You mean I'm busted so soon? Oh, Queenie, you know I love you terribly.
You certainly do.
You're not happy surrounded by all these jewels and gold. Let me take you away from all this.
It's too late for that.
Well, then let me take all this away from you.
To think I was so happy on this, my husband's murder day. And now I'm so depressed. Where's my court jester?
Did you call me, Your Salutership?
Jester, come here and amuse me.
Oh, yes, rather. I say, here is a wizard jewelry. I think it's just too frightfully funny.
Well, that kills it right there.
Now, how can you say that? Haven't I always been laugh-provoking?
No, just provoking.
Oh, just provoking. Yeah. That is funny, isn't it? Oh, really, I can't go on.
Oh, good. Best news I've had today.
I'm so glad I made you happy. Cheerio. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't that good. Oh, Queenie, let's kiss and make 'em, huh? After we bump off the king, we can wed.
Yes, darling. Then you would be my king and I would be your queen.
Yes, and we could raise a bunch of little face cards.
Pardon me, Royal Highness. Your prescription is ready.
Tell me, what poison did you put in this potion?
Well, first, it contains equal parts of hydrocatastrophe, emulsified futility, potassium fandango, and arsenic.
What, no old lace?
You may go now, and don't mention this to a soul.
Oh, yes, Your Highness. And may I wish you a very happy assassination?
And now, before the king comes, I'll pour out 3 glasses of wine.
Looks nourishing, doesn't it?
And now I'll slip the poison in this one. That one.
Here, Tallulah Bell.
Chickers, here he comes.
Would anybody like to play a game of checkers?
Hmm? I would, but I don't think you'll be able to move. First, let us drink a toast.
Yes, to your health, Your Majesty. Why, you still got it. Did you slip the Mickey in the glass, Queenie?
Yes, but I forgot which glass.
Well, that puts me on the wagon.
Go on, drink it. We can't let him suspect anything.
Yeah, but won't it look kind of funny if I go out feet first?
Come, my friends, come. Why the delay? Bottoms up.
Well, here goes nothing.
Oh, don't be afraid, my darling. I'll always love you.
Yeah, but it's more fun when I'm alive.
Down the hatch.
Down the hatch.
Well, how does everybody feel?
I feel all right.
You do? Well, that narrows the field down. And you, King?
Well, say, what was in that wine? It certainly makes me feel awful.
Well, that makes me feel good.
Yes. Oh, I've been poisoned.
Look, he's falling!
Tinder!
Ouch. Oh, there's a fire tearing at me vitals. Growing dark. I am drowsy.
You're also lousy. No.
In a few short minutes, I will be but a memory.
We hate to rush you, but could you make that 1 minute?
You want me to hurry?
Yeah, we got a commercial to do yet.
Water! I'd give my very soul for a drink of cool, clear water.
Well, what in the world brought that on?
Oh, nothing. That's just a scene I did in Lifeboat.
Lifeboat, eh? Now listen, Miss Bulkhead.
Bulkhead?
I'm wise to you. You've been trying to ruin my play with your handing and upstaging.
Are you trying to tell me how to act? Why, you animated hitching post? I was acting before the tree surgeon brought you in his little black bag.
Yeah. You were acting before Uncle Tom built his cabana.
Why, you?
The fire is tearing at me vitals. I'm dying.
Oh, shut up, Curly Locks. Go ahead and die.
But I have one last request to make before I go.
What is it, Bub?
Would anybody like to play a game of checkers?
This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from the Pasadena Playhouse, Pasadena, California.
And now moving from our sophisticated baby, Charlie McCarthy, here's radio's tough teenager from the Phil Harris Alice Faye show, Julius. The boys are mixing up a new drug for Rexall, and Julius is finding himself in the guinea pig slot. Let's listen.
Remley, I got to do something to impress the executives.
Yeah. Why don't you invent something?
Like what?
Well, what's the most important thing that Rexall makes and sells? What are they famous for?
Drugs.
That's it. All you got to do is invent a new drug.
That's all, huh?
Yep, simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one trouble. I'm a little out of practice, you see. I haven't invented a drug for a fortnight now. About 9 days. Look, what makes you think they need a new drug?
Statistics.
He ain't even with the company.
Oh, thanks a lot. Look, how many independent druggists have they got?
10,000.
How many drug products do they make?
2,000.
All right, you see? That leaves 8,000 druggists without a drug. You must admit that makes sense.
That figures.
Hey, Remley.
What?
Whatever gave you the idea of inventing a new drug?
Well, the kid's chemistry set and my knowledge of chemical formulae.
Formulae?
Yeah, it's Latin. It's female for formula.
Hey. You sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, of course I do. Come on, let's experiment. A lot of things are discovered by chemists just accidentally mixing things together. With my knowledge, we're sure to hit something.
Yeah. A lot of things are discovered accidentally.
Sure.
Anyway, it's worth a try. Hey, come on, Frankie. Now, look. Let's get the kids' chemistry set, mix a few things together, and we'll see what happens.
Curly,
maybe we can...
Curly, please. We chemists cannot work with a child's implements. We'll need a professional set with test tubes and Bunsen burners. You'll have to buy an elaborate set.
Okay, Frankie, but you better come with me so I don't get stuck.
All right.
Hey, I hope this thing works how I'd love to show that Willie up. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, Remley.
What?
How much further is this chemist supply store?
Oh, it's in this block, a couple of doors down. See, now, I want to make sure we get everything. We'll need a couple of dozen test tubes, some mixing pans, Bunsen burners.
What are them burners for?
Oh, they're necessary to every chemist.
Yeah?
Can't burn a Bunsen without him. Besides, if we want to discover a new drug, we'll need them to heat up the ingredients.
What are we after, a hot headache pill?
A
How stupid can a man be? Curly, when we get in the store, you better let me do the talking. If we don't sound like professionals, they won't sell us anything.
All right, pro, you can do the talking. You better start it, too. Here comes the clerk.
How do you do, sir?
What can I do for you?
Oh, nothing for me, but my colleague, Madame Curie, wants to buy some.
Madame Curie?
Pay no attention to Professor Harris. He's been working on the atom bomb, and he's a little radioactive. We'd like to buy the best chemistry set you have.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. You're professional chemists, of course.
Please. H2OCO2 and carbon 4 dioxide 5.
And if that ain't enough, granite 3883.
Yes.
Yes. Now, will you please show us your most expensive set?
Well, very well, if you insist. I have one on the shelf right here. Mm-hmm. This is the best chemistry set that money can buy.
Yeah, this looks adequate. We'll take it.
Wait, pro, wait. How much is it, mister?
Oh, not very much. The cabinet is $20.
Hey, bad.
Plus the chemicals, which are $165.
Huh?
Plus the smear slides, plus the culture discs. That'll be a total of
$210. $210?
Plus 3% sales tax.
Hey, bud. Do you have a brother working in a packing house who cut up a steer for me 3 weeks ago?
That was me, Professor Harris. I change jobs. I do that quite often.
Well, don't ever take a job in a penny arcade. You won't be happy with their prices.
Hey, Curly, stop quibbling about price. This is important to
you. All right, all right. All right, wrap it up, mister. We won't take it home. Get started.
Very well. Oh, a word of warning. If you don't know what you're doing, these sets can be dangerous.
No, please, don't worry about us, bub. By the way, we'll also need some test tubes and mixing pans.
Oh, look, and another thing. Throw in a couple of them bunion burners.
Hey, Curly, look at all these chemicals and acids we have. Oh, with what we have here, we shouldn't have any trouble inventing something great. Let's get started.
Yeah, but... Hey, Remley.
Hmm?
You think we should be doing this here on the dining room table? This is an expensive piece of furniture. We might damage it.
No, not with me handling the stuff. However, if it'll make you feel better, we'll cover it up. Put that tablecloth on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll just throw it on here, huh?
Hmm?
Yeah, there. Ain't no sense taking no chances.
No. All right, now then, let's get started. First, I'll pour a little of this into a test tube.
What is it?
Hydrochloric acid. Harmless stuff. I'll just pour a little in this test tube.
Frankie, be careful. Look, you're splashing it all over the tablecloth.
Well, that's all right. We got a lot of it. Stop worrying. It won't hurt the cloth.
Okay, as long as it... Remley, are you losing compression? Hey, Remley, look.
What?
Look at that. It's burning holes in the tablecloth.
That's very weak material.
Oh.
I'm surprised that Alice buying cheap...
Hello, you're gonna boys. Get... Hello. What are you doing in here? What's that stuff on the Oh, no. Look at my pure Irish linen tablecloth.
Beautiful, intricate lace work, hasn't it?
Phil Harris, what have you done? What are all these bottles on the table?
Honey, it's just a little chemistry set.
Well, take it out to the garage and play with it. And if you play real nice, I'll get you boys Tinker Toys for Christmas. Now go on, run along. Scoot.
All right, all right. Let's go out in the garage, Pro. Come
okay.
on. Hey, Frankie, how are we doing? You think we got something here?
Shh, don't disturb me. I gotta concentrate. It's coming to a boil.
Hey, look, it's changing color. It was pink and purple, and now it's changing to orange and blue.
Well, then we got it, Frankie. Can't you see it's the perfect drug for Rexall, a pill that's half orange and half blue.
I still like pink and purple. Now, Curly, I think we got something here, though. As soon as it cools off, I'm going to pour it and let you have the honor and privilege of being the first one to taste our new drug.
Let's reverse that. I'll pour, you taste.
No, but Curly, I'm a scientist. The world needs men like me, but you're expendable. Are you going to be selfish? You're going to think of the world or yourself?
Yes.
Yes, what?
I think the world or myself. Look, Remley, let's face it. We're both afraid to taste this stuff.
Yeah. Well, what we need is a human guinea pig to try it out on.
Yeah, that's what we need, a guinea pig. Somebody
who... What are you two guys doing in the garage?
Well, if it ain't Julius, oink, oink, Abruzio.
Hey, come on in here, kid. Come on in.
Yeah, come on, pull up a sty and sit down.
Hey, you guys, let go. Get your clammy meat hooks off of me. What are you characters up to?
Julius, my boy, I'm going to give you a chance to become famous. I'm going to let you do something that'll make this world a better place to live in. You and you alone, Julius, can make your fellow man very happy.
Sorry, I ain't interested.
Why not?
I ain't gonna knock Mr. Harris off.
Nobody's asking you to knock me off. All we want you to do is to help us with a little experiment.
Experiment?
Now, look, kid. Mr. Remley, my colleague,
yes,
and myself have just discovered a new drug that will be a boon to mankind.
You discovered a new drug?
Yes, sir, and we want you to be the first to try it. Just think, Julius. If it's successful, your name will go down as one of the bravest men in medical history. You'll be a martyr, a man of destiny.
Yeah, I'll be a world-famous martyr. People will talk about me, and I'll be a household word. Gentlemen, I've reached a decision.
Then you'll do it?
Are you kidding?
Julius, I made this stuff. What are you afraid of? What could happen to you?
I could drop dead.
Besides that, I guarantee nothing will happen to you. But if it does, we'll give you our antidote.
Did you discover an antidote, too?
No, but we'll face that crisis when it arises.
Look, Julius, I'm trying to discover a new drug for my sponsor. If I can show a big shot like Mr. Scott that I have his interest at heart, he'll accept me. We'll travel around together socially.
Save your breath. I should give my life just so you can go steady with Mr. Scott?
Julius, look. I poured a little in this test tube. Here, just taste it.
Stop shoving it into my hand. Ouch, it's hot.
Julius, you're dropping it.
I don't think this stuff's going to be any good for headaches.
Boom, it went, huh? Well, a boom.
How?
Yeah.
Curly, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. How about you?
Yeah, I'm all in one piece. Curly?
Yeah.
Wasn't Julia standing here a minute ago?
I could have sworn he was. Hey, Frankie. You think that maybe...
Could be. Oh, well, here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah. He didn't even wait till tomorrow. Poor little Julius.
Too bad it had to happen.
Sure. What are you, a couple of wise guys or something?
Hey, Julius, you all right? Where were you?
I ducked down here under the car. So that's the drug you discovered for Rexall, huh? What are they going to do, open a bomb department?
All right, we're sorry, kid. It was an accident.
I guess I put too much uranium in.
I'm getting out of here. To think you guys wanted me to drink that stuff.
But, Julius, we
didn't... Why do I tell my old man you tried to make an active volcano out of me?
There goes the guinea pig, Mr. Remley. This is a nice medical discovery you made. What's it supposed to do, blow up the germs?
Oh, Philip!
Oh, no, look, there comes Willie. There he comes, and he's got some guy with him. If he sees what we did, I'll be a laughingstock. He'll tell everybody. I gotta keep him out of the garage. Frank... Hey, Frankie.
What? I think I found a use for our drug.
You mean... Yeah, now start pouring. Keep pouring just enough to scare him off. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Drop it as soon as they get near the garage door.
Oh, Philip, Alice told me you were...
I wonder what Alice told him you were.
Hey, Frankie, look at Willie. Look at Willie and his friend Ron.
Yeah, we scared the daylights out of him.
Phil, Frankie, what happened? What was that explosion?
It was nothing, honey. We just played a little gag to scare Willie and his friend away.
Just a harmless prank.
Phil, you shouldn't have done that. Especially to Willie's friend.
Oh, who's worried about Willie's friend? When will I ever see that guy again?
Around auction time, that was Mr. Scott.
What?
And now we'll wrap up this visit to Radio's Kids with one of the best remembered kids on the air. This is the mean little kid from Red Skelton.
Chapter 89 of Telephones is entitled The New Telephone. After waiting a year and a half for a telephone, you really appreciate it when it's finally installed. It makes you so happy that you forget all your troubles. Even Junior, the mean little kid.
Junior, where are you?
If I tell you, you won't like it.
Junior, if you don't tell me where you are, I'll come after you.
I know you won't, kiddo. Hide up on top of the garage roof.
Please come down off the roof. You might fall on the driveway and crack the cement.
Yeah. Well, you sure does love me, don't you, huh?
I have some candy for you.
Oh, no, you ain't tricking me, kiddo.
All right, you stay up there. The man's finally coming to install our new telephone, and I want you out of the way.
No, I'll be right down, kiddo. I will slide down the roof into my sandbox.
Junior, be careful. You might tear your trousers.
What trousers?
Here.
I feel the glass.
And your good play suit, too.
No, okay, kiddo. Where's my candy?
Junior, I have here a hairbrush and a piece of candy. Which do you think you deserve?
Well, there's no doubt about it, Grandma. I deserve the hairbrush. You ought to beat me within an inch of me, like climbing up there and taking chances like that. Spare no pain, boy. Jesse, I know it will wear you out, but go ahead. I want you to just beat me and beat me and beat me. Well, now you know how I feel, so just give me the candy.
That's enough. Now, you get into that house.
Okay. Hey, who did you say was coming?
The man to install our telephone.
Oh.
And if you'll behave, I'll give you a cupcake.
When?
If you're good, you'll get it for dessert.
The big win or the little win?
That all depends on how good you are.
Crumbs again. Boy, you sure is happy one today, Grandma.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes? Getting a phone these days is just like a blessed event.
Really? Hey, Grandma, was I a blessed event?
No, you were a dirty trick.
I like that. The neighbors are applauding it. How do you like it? Don't talk so loud. The neighbors are listening. Was you surprised when I was arrived? Was the folks surprised? Was my mommy surprised?
Yes. She was expecting a child.
Yes. Sometimes when you talk to me like that, I feel like running away with little orphan Annie. Nobody loves me. I'm just a poor little orphan.
Don't cry.
I don't want it anywhere. I know.
Oh, Junior, you're going to cry.
I'm going to cry.
Poor baby.
You're such a poor baby.
Would he like 50? 15 cents to get a soda.
No, he would like 16 cents as a tax, you know.
Bless his little heart.
Yeah, bless his little heart.
He's trying to trick me into something.
Yeah, he's trying to trick you into something. No, no.
I would carry this too far sometimes.
Uh-oh. There's the telephone man.
I will go. We are going to get a telephone. Welcome to the House of Horrors, Dracula. Are you the man from the telephone company?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, my name's Junior.
Well, Junior, I think you're a nice little fella.
I think you got a lot to learn.
Hello. We've been expecting you.
Yeah, for nearly 2 years. You were as scarce as butter, you know.
You've had a telephone in here before, I understand.
Yes, the box is right over there.
Good. I'll have to open the box to check the wire. It's full of marbles. Somebody's been in this box.
Yeah, there must be pack rats around here. Pack rats. Them little rats with packs on their backs.
Now, Junior, don't you pester the phone man.
No, he's not bothering me. I have a little boy just like him.
Yeah? What reform school is he in?
Now, remember, Junior, you behave yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know why we lost our phone before, don't you?
No.
You were always cutting the cord with my scissors.
No.
Oh, you were much younger then. You wouldn't do anything like that now, would you, Junior?
I should say not. Cutting cords with scissors. That was because I was such a little child, you know. I got bigger ideas now.
Well, just watch your step, young man. I'm going into the kitchen to prepare dinner. And, Junior, don't forget, I've got the hairbrush with me.
Now, I know, kiddo. You wouldn't look like your natural self without that thing in your midst, you know. Oh, she's a sweetie, she is. I get on her nerves, but she is a sweetie. Oh, I love that grandma.
You know, women sure cause a lot of trouble.
She causes blisters.
Say, you know, you're a smart little fella. Yeah. What are you going to be when you grow up?
Probably hung. Hey, what you doing there? What you doing?
You just watch me closely, and I'll show you how I install the telephone.
Oh. Hey, when you kneel down like that and your feet out in the back like that and you can't see what's going... Did anybody ever give you a hot foot?
No, indeed, Sonny. The guy doesn't live that would try doing that to me.
He talked like a stranger in town, don't he?
You wouldn't think of giving me a hot foot, would you, Junior?
No, I'd do it without thinking.
Oh, hand me that hammer over there.
The hammer?
Yes, give it to me. Give it to me.
Okay, you asked for it.
Did you do that on purpose?
It slipped out of my hand. Look at that lump on your cocoa there. Look at that. Oh, boy, ain't that a dandy. You like to match it up on the other side there? It slipped. Believe me, the hammer slipped. I will.
Well, all right, I believe you.
You do?
Yes, we all make mistakes.
Not like I does.
Well, there we are.
Yes?
Telephone's all connected.
Well.
What do you think of it?
I don't think it's going to last long, truthfully.
Now, I'm going outside and check the wires. I know you'll keep your hands off it while I'm gone.
I might crisscross the wires a little, you know.
Oh, no, you wouldn't do that, would you? You're kidding me.
You just keep laughing, kiddo. That's... You wait till you call up somebody and the guy who answers turns out to be you. You'll find out, kiddo.
Well, I'll trust you.
Yeah. Oh, boy, here I is with a phone. I shouldn't mess with it. And then again, I should. I got to learn to talk on them, you know. Then again, I don't know why I waste me time. I'm going to do it anyhow. Oh, boy. Boy, I'm going to have fun with this thing. I'm going to call up the fire department and the police. Oh, boy, what possibilities? What possibilities? I wonder if this thing works yet. I'm going to test it. Hello? 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 Sound like somebody snoring on the other end. Maybe there's a bee in it. Maybe there's a bee in it. Get out of there, baby. Bud, come on, get out of there. I'm about to make him think I'm a bee. Come on, get out of there. I'm going to get you out of there before that man comes back. Boy, he'll be proud of me. Now, let's see. Where's the screwdriver and his hammer? I'm going to take this thing apart here. Get out of there, will you, bee? Come on, Bud, get out of there. Boy, it's putting up a great fight, isn't it? I got to eat more Wheaties. I got to turn this thing to pieces and take that. that, I am.
Well, kid, everything's shipshape, as we say in the Navy.
I think a snafu, as we say in the Cub Scouts.
What's going on in here? Good heavens, what's that mess on the floor?
I'll give you three guesses.
The telephone!
Give that lady a box of Milky Way!
No,
you hit me, I'd love to spank him, too.
Sorry, line is busy.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.